Good morning. My name's Jamie Dickens. If we haven't met yet, I'm the pastor of East Cobb Church. So great to see every one of you here. Hope you had a great weekend. No better way to end it than together here. And like you said, if this is your first time with us, so glad that you're here. I'd love to meet you. If you get a chance, I'll be hanging out down front after the service. Come and say hi if you'd like. I'd love to put a face with a name. But we're going to spend a few minutes talking about something that is really challenging to me personally, but I think it's super important to our lives. And to get us thinking in that direction, I have a question to start us out. Where is your least favorite place to wait? Where is your least favorite place, venue, situation to wait? Anybody just want to shout out an idea?
DMV.
The DMV. Yes, that is on mine. Traffic. Anybody want to say traffic? What else? Where do you not like waiting? Oh my goodness, both great. Restaurants, the ER. Man, when you were in the ER and you're like, we're in the ER. What are we doing here? Where's the E in the ER? What else? Let's see. Here's my personal one that I have a really short fuse on. Customer service lines that are automated. You know, when you're like, hey, I already know I don't want to pay my bill. I already know that this isn't like a routine thing. It's like representative. Represented, you know, it's just like, oh man, it's taking forever. Waiting can be really hard in certain venues, depending on where you are. And waiting, as those of us who've been parents or grandparents or ever watched kids, if you ever babysat before, waiting can be especially hard for kids, right? You know, you're in the car and it's like, hey, are we there yet? Hey, are we there yet? Hey, are we there yet? You're like, no, we're not. I've changed in the last 10 seconds. excuse me, guys, allergies are continuing to destroy me this season. Let's see, you're in the doctor's office, right? And, you know, one kid is asking you, they're on the thousand question kick where they're like, hey, daddy, 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 and what about, and daddy, and daddy. And then one of them, the other one's trying to like pull the fire alarm and you're like, oh my goodness, we got to get out of here. I can't handle the waiting in the waiting room. Can be difficult. And yet we all know, and we all try to teach our kids to wait without being misbehaving, without being ungrateful, without being rude, without causing a scene, without blowing up. And when we do, when we ask ourselves, or we ask our spouse, or we ask our children to wait without complaint and to wait well, what we're really asking them to have is one simple word. We all know what it is. We're asking them to have a little bit more patience. Yes, I've had a little bit more patience. So we're in the middle of a series that is called this right here, What Our World Needs Now. And I bet if we went around the room, we'd all have an opinion on that, maybe multiple opinions on that. We're all thinking about it from time to time. We certainly will be in the coming months. This series is simply about the fact that we believe God has an answer to that question, one that we would be wise to pay attention to and probably really blessed as individuals and as a community, as a country, as a culture, if we did. And we started the whole series just with the basic premise of the whole thing. You got to go back and watch it if you missed it. But the premise was this, that we believe if God had a chance to respond, he would say, hey, you know what the world needs now? The world needs people. And especially those of us who are Jesus followers, who are Christians, God would say the world needs, especially Jesus followers, to grow up. That's what the world needs now. It needs people to grow up and not just grow up in their age, like we need some years to pass by, but to grow up in their maturity. That's what the world needs now. And we looked in the scriptures to see that from several places. And, you know, while we can come up with different benchmarks or definitions for what maturity is, the definition that we're using in our family of churches and that I would suggest that you should use if you're a Jesus follower is the one the Apostle Paul gives us. He says, hey, the mark of maturity looks like walking in and living by the Holy Spirit of God. We just sing about it today for just a few seconds ago. It comes from a pretty famous passage in Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, where he's writing to tell them, guys, hey, there's like two different ways of living. There's two different operating systems for your life. And one of them is what he calls this right here. He calls it the flesh. He said, this is the one that you're born with, the one that comes naturally, just the way of living that without any intervention or self-control or anything like that, you're just naturally going to do. And we're very familiar with it. We know what it's like and we know what it produces. But he's writing to these specific people in the city of Galatia to remind them, these Christians, hey, there is another way of living. There's another operating system for your life that's better. And it's what he calls and what we call the Spirit, the Spirit. And he's writing to encourage them to walk in and live in the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because when you do, it produces something different in your life. It produces what he calls, famously, the fruit of the Spirit. It produces different outcomes, different characteristics, different qualities, different ways of acting and reacting, different relationships, you know, and so on and so forth. And he actually had writes a famous list of what he says the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. And it's this, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A list that has been so famous since he wrote it that millions upon millions of people have memorized it through the centuries. They're the fruits of the Spirit. And we saw this is a really big deal to those of us who are Jesus followers, because this is the whole point of our Christian life. The point of the Christian life is not to be more spiritual or more religious, though that's totally fine. The goal of the Christian life is to become more mature, to grow up and look more and more like Jesus. And we do that by walking in the Holy Spirit and producing more and more of these fruits in our lives. That's the whole goal. This is a big deal. But we also said, and I've said a couple times so far, that it's also, I think, really interesting and relevant to you if you're not a Christian, or if you're not a church person, because you already knew the qualities on that list without reading them. Why? Because they're qualities you already want to be true of you. They're qualities you already want to be true of your kids, or those that you live around, or those that you work with, or that you work for. They're qualities you already want to be true of the people you elect to lead your county, your community, your country. They're just things that we all want. And Paul's saying, yes, this is what the Spirit of God can produce in you. So that's the intersection point with your life, really, no matter who you are. And that's what this series is about. It's about an invitation to pivot from walking in the flesh to walking in the Spirit, and perhaps seeing more of these qualities we already all want being produced in our lives. And we've been going through them. We started with joy. Love was the first kind of catch-all, but then we started looking at joy. And then last week we looked at peace. And today we're looking at patience. That's the third one on the list. Now, this word in Paul's famous list, obviously it was not written originally in English. It was written in Greek, and it's this word right here, makrothumeo. Everybody say that with me, makrothumeo. Yep, see, y'all theologians already. There you go. Makrothumeo, and the definition is to be of long spirit, to be long suffering, meaning that it takes a lot to get you to act or react impatiently. That's what it means. Another way of thinking about it is this right here. It means to have a long fuse. If you've ever played with fireworks, you know the scariest part of fireworks is they have like an itty bitty fuse. You light that thing and you're like, wah! And you run away and everybody's scattering in different directions. It's scary. Well, makrothumeo means to be the kind of person who has a long fuse, like you may have seen in cartoons growing up where it's like, you know, it means that you're the kind of person, it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of frustration and it takes a whole lot of inconvenience to get you to blow up. So that's another way of thinking about it. But here's my favorite way of understanding this word from looking into the definition from the Greek word. It's this. Makrothumeo could be understood to mean this, to persevere at someone else's pace. To persevere, meaning hang in there. Don't bail. You persevere at somebody else's pace. In life, or at work, or at home, or simply on a walk. And that's a great example. Like those of you who've ever had kids or been grandparents, if you've ever taken a toddler on a family walk, you understand this. What you really quickly learn is that the whole family is gonna have to embrace the toddler's pace if this is gonna be a good family outing. Having four little kids myself, we've learned this the hard way multiple times, because if the whole family does not embrace the pace of the toddler, two things are gonna happen. They're all gonna be frustrated and the toddler's gonna have a meltdown and it's gonna be awful and you're gonna go home just about as soon as you get out the door. So from the start of a family walk, everyone has gotta agree, hey, we're just gonna embrace the pace of our youngest kid and we're just gonna ooze down the street, okay? So let's just get ready for that. It's persevering at someone else's pace. And so this is the definition that I wanna use for patience from this passage of Paul. And I just wrote it like this. This is my own definition. It's a God-given ability to let something or someone else set the pace in life. Someone else. And Paul says that this makrothumeia is a mark, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a mark of maturity. It's a mark of a mature person. It's a measure of being like Jesus, of being a mature follower of Jesus that we would walk around with and go through life with and relate to one another with and do our business in the world with patience. That we would do that. That we'd have a long fuse. And it's what the world needs now. And I want to talk about it today because It, the same reason that we talk about it with those in our lives, especially our children, the same reason we try to instill it in them. I want to spend a whole sermon talking about patience because we all instinctively understand. We instinctively understand, but we also know from experience two things. One, that patience is easy to lose. Patience is easy to lose. And, well, we'll get there in a second. Patience is easy to lose, right? It doesn't, all it takes is a circumstance or whatever, but it's also, there's also so little to gain. Patience is easy to lose, but when we do, there's little to gain. We all have stories, some of them even recently as today or this morning, maybe this week. We've all got stories of times when we lost our patience, but then ended up losing more than our patience. You know what I mean? Like when we have lost patience with somebody in our family and we've ruined a family gathering because somebody cried and the mood's ruined and it's just like, oh man, we totally lost the initiative here. Like we're not having a good time tonight. We've all had times when maybe we've lost patience with something that we were trying to accomplish in life and it was just taking a long time and we gave up, but then later we regretted it because we missed out on what we could have had. We have stories like that. We have stories of times where we lost our patience with a friend or a coworker or maybe our boss. And in the process, we lost influence or we lost opportunity or we lost, you know, whatever, something that we valued simply because of how we acted and reacted when we lost our patience. We've all got stories like that. It's universal. The times where we lost our patience and then we lost something else, something that mattered. But it turns out the opposite is, of course, true because you also and I also have so many stories of times when I actually decided to have patience, right? Where I like somehow clinged to it. I like held on to my patience and as a result, I gained something, right? Like the time that you had a long fuse with your online classes and you're like, oh, I just want to give up. This isn't worth it. I got too much going on in life, but you stuck with it and now you have a degree. There you go. Or you were faithful in your marriage. I don't just mean like in the macro, but even in the little things, like you just kept showing up. Even when it was hard, it was difficult, and it was tough seasons, but like you had this long fuse in your marriage and you stuck with it. You were long suffering and now you've got a relationship and you've got a tenure in your marriage that other people are jealous of in your life. And you're like, I'm so proud of it. I had patience. It's awesome. Or just the time where like maybe you had a child that you had a long fuse with and you kept praying for them and you kept loving them even when it didn't seem like they loved you back and they were acting out and acting up and you're like, this is awful. But you hung in there and you didn't give up and now you've broken through to another side, a whole new day, like a new day in their relationship with you and in their decisions in life. And you're so grateful. You're so grateful you had patience. We all have these stories. It's a universal human story. And it's because, it's not a coincidence, it's because most of the best things in life require us to let something or someone else set the pace. That's true. You know that. Most of the best things in our relationships that we all either have to enjoy or we want to enjoy, they require us to let something or someone else set the pace. And if you're a Christian or if you're a person of faith or spirituality, you need to know this. Most of the best things that God has for us require us to let something or someone else set the pace. They require patience. Makro phimeo. It's the secret ingredient, what we're talking about today. It's an essential ingredient to so many things in life, or at least to so many things in the kind of life that you want to live, the kind of life that you're looking for, the kind of life that you're praying for, and the kind of life that God has for you. So today, that's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about what patience is. You know that. You're already teaching it to people around you in your life and perhaps to yourself. I don't want to talk about what patience is, though we spent a minute defining it. I want to talk about where we most likely need to urgently start applying it and walking in it and asking God for it, that he would bear this fruit in our lives. Because if you do, it'll make your life better. Because if you do, it'll make you a better Jesus follower. Because if you do, it'll make our community better. It'll make our country better. It'll make our culture better. And what I want to talk about is found in the book of James. The book of James. So James is written by a guy named James, yeah. Look at you guys. How'd you know? James is just the anglicized version of the Hebrew name Jacob. Did you know that? So the guy that wrote the book of James, his name is Jake James to us, or Jacob in their culture. And he was James, Jacob, the brother of Jesus. That's pretty significant. And the book of James in the Bible, you can find it towards the back. It is an open letter written from James to Jews everywhere, not just in Israel, but all around what they call the diaspora, the exiled cities that the Jews had been scattered to. And James had come to be the leader of the church in Jerusalem, which we say all the time, Andy says all the time. Imagine if your brother somehow became convinced that you were Messiah. Well, Jesus' brother did become convinced. He was leading the church in Jerusalem. So he writes this letter, an open letter to all the Jews, and especially to the many, 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 many Jews that were starting to believe in Jesus too and decide to follow him. So he writes a letter to them, and his main purpose is he's trying to get them to live out their faith correctly in the world. That's it. He was like, hey, I want you to not just have faith. I want you to live it out correctly in the world, and particularly in the face of hardship and suffering and times when things aren't good and it's hard to not only just live life, but be a Christian. So he's trying to encourage them to do that. And it's in what would later become designated the fifth chapter of James's letter, open letter to the Jewish Christians all throughout the Mediterranean rim. In the fifth chapter that we see him write this right here. He says, be patient then, makro thumeo. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. He's like, hey guys, I got a really important piece of advice. This is indispensable life advice. You are gonna have to have patience. You are gonna have to develop patience. Life requires it as an essential ingredient. You're gonna have to somehow find patience in your life from this day. How long? Well, until either you die or the Lord comes back. You're gonna need it the whole time. No matter how old you get, you're gonna need to develop patience. And specifically, he has in mind, and he's about to expound on three areas that he wants them to start developing the muscle of patience, to ask God to produce in them this fruit of patience and walk in it and apply it to their lives so that all this stuff that they want to have happen and that God wants to have happen can happen in their lives. And those are the three areas that I want to briefly go over today. And the whole point is that you're going to either hear one or maybe all if you're me, and you're going to hear one or all, and you're going to go, man, I need to walk back into my life and I'm going to start bearing this fruit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, so help me God, I'm going to start walking in macrothermeo in my life. That's the whole goal. So let's read the following verses here. And the first category that he says, here's, you're going to really need patience in your life. It's this one right here. He says, hey, let's draw an analogy. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Like, how long do I have to do it? Well, God's coming, so it's not gonna be forever, but you stand firm just like the farmer. Paul says, hey, you know, the first area of your life where you need to develop patience, where makrothumeia is essential to the quality of your life and the quality of our community and to the plans that God has for you, is that you're gonna need to find patience for a process. Everybody say process. You're gonna need to find patience for a process. And he uses an analogy. He's like, hey, you know how in farming, well, we don't know, but he says, you know how in farming, how you like plant a seed, but nothing happens? And then you come back the next day and you water the seed and nothing happens. And then you come back the next day and you water it again and nothing happens. And then you come back again and you fertilize it and you till the soil maybe and you water it again and nothing happens. And it's like, man, who has time for this? My fuse is way too short for farming. It's like, you know how that is the thing? Like, but to those who are patient and they plant and they water and they water and they fertilize and they water and they fertilize and water and they fertilize, eventually, all of a sudden one day, something, corn, wheat, watermelons, whatever you like, pops up from the ground. You can't control when it happens. You can't speed it up. All you can do is plant and water. But for those who have patience and they have a long fuse and they don't go, ah, I can't handle this, they get to see a harvest. It's farming. Of course, we don't farm, most of us. So let's draw another analogy. You know how like in fitness, when you want to look a little better or feel a little better, the doctor's like, hey, you need to make a couple little changes, and you go to the gym and work out once and you're like, nothing happens. You go work out again and all you got is soreness, no change, you know? You eat a couple healthy meals and you're like, what's going on? Come on, you know? But then if you do that over the course of a month or maybe 2 months, you start to see transformation. You know how that works? Or you know how in your relationship with God, that like, you're like, hey, I want to feel closer to God. So you went and read your Bible and you're like, I didn't feel anything. You went and read your Bible and you're like, God didn't speak to me. But you've heard stories of people who did it consistently over a long period of time and they somehow experienced that. That's this principle. There are processes that will pay off. There are principles that will pay off. There are practices that will pay off in your life if and only if you have patience. If and only if you have a long fuse. Whether it's your health or your finances or your skills or your relationships or your marriage, or I wrote down some examples, some your work life balance or your faith. It's just a principle in life. It's just a principle in life that you have to persevere through the process to get the payoff. You know that. There are things in life, very important things. You got to persevere through the process to get the payoff. Problem is, most people don't want to do that. Most people give up at some point. Most people get annoyed, or they get distracted, or they get tired. They grow impatient with the process and therefore miss out on the payoff. And I would bet if you were to drill down on the biggest struggles in your life or the things that you're most frustrated about right now about your own life, and I'm pretty sure if we were to drill down on some of the biggest problems in our society right now, like the biggest ways that we're unhealthy or that we're having, you know, bad outcomes or we're just like, you know, losing out on life, I think what we would find if we drilled down into it, yes, among probably other things, but what we would find is that we have a really big patience problem. Like, we lose patience with some of life's most essential processes, and we lose patience with some of life's most important principles, and in the process, we end up losing out on the payoff. And James is saying, hey, not so with you. Be like the farmer. You be like the farmer. You have makrothumeo. You be patient. You let the process set the pace. You let the process set the pace. Because it's like a secret ingredient of so many things in life. And that's the thing I wanted to kind of bother you with this morning. It's been bothering me this week as I've been preparing it. Hey, you know the secret ingredient to the character that you wish you had in life, or the health you wish you had in life, or the finances you wish you had in life, or the whatever you wish you had in life, is most likely not a little more knowledge or a little more ability or some secret willpower or whatever. It's most likely just patience. Christians, you know, the secret ingredient to the character and the faith or the marriage or the whatever that God wants you to have in life is most likely not another song or another Bible verse or another Bible study. It's most likely mostly just patience. The long fuse of the farmer. The most significant things that you're ever going to do in life and the most significant things that God wants to do in and through your life, they are all going to require this. They're all going to require patience. So, for starters, the first question I want to ask you, or that I want to send you out the door with, is simply this. With what process have you grown impatient in your life? With what process have you grown impatient with in your life? Is it in any of the realms that I've mentioned so far? I bet it is. The challenge of today, if I may, is that you go back into your life, into that area, and you would start having makrothumeo. You would let the process set the pace. You wouldn't lean out, you would lean in. You wouldn't bow out, you would double down. You would keep doing your part. You would keep planting and watering, planting and watering, planting and watering, and you would wait patiently for the payoff and not give up. You let the process set the pace. I love how the Apostle Paul captures it. And if this is you, this is your memory verse for the week, take it with you, screenshot it right now. You can get your phone out, it's okay. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. Planting and watering, planting and watering and planting and watering. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is makrothumeo. It's one of the most foundational principles of your life and your kids' lives and those you love. It's huge. So that's the first category that he says. You're going to need patience with a process. Second one, though, is even more important. He says this. Don't grumble against one another. Ooh, that's a different category right there. Brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. God's like, you know, that's the image here. And God's like, what y'all doing down there? You know? Paul says, hey, you want to know a second area that you are going to need to develop patience, where makrothumeo is going to become essential to the quality of your life, the quality of our community, and the plans that God has for you? It's with people. You're going to need to find a God-given ability to be patient, not with a process, with a person. Question we all have an answer to. Do you have anybody in your life with whom you have a short fuse? Yeah. Agreed with that person. It's either a family member, it's a neighbor, it's an employer, a coworker, a boss, it's somebody on social media, it's a whole category of people out in the culture there, you know? And your fuse is like, zoop. It's all of us. We struggle to be patient with processes. Y'all, we struggle even more to be patient with people. That's even harder. It's harder for me. And that's a really big deal because not only is impatience impolite, but that's not it. I mean, that's true, but that's not why it's a big deal. It's a big deal because when we lose our patience, like I said, we generally end up losing something else as well. And I think as individuals, and I think as a community, and I think as certainly at the national level, we could all look and go, yeah, I think consistently we are taking losses with one another day after day after day after day because of the short fuse that we have with one another. Like, we all have stories of times when we've lost our patience, and then as a result, we've also simultaneously lost intimacy with another person, or trust with another person, or friendship with another person, or influence, or even ministry that God wanted us to do to another person, and we just totally lost it because of the way we responded when we lost our patience. It's all of us. And it's an even bigger deal because it's not just strangers who offend us or slow us down or annoy us or get in our way or don't act like we want them to. No, it's the people that we love and need the most. So, I mean, when we talk about the consequences of not being patient with the process, that's unfortunate. But when we talk about the consequences of not being patient with the people that we love and live around, those consequences are actually heartbreaking. And that's why James is calling us to have makrothumeo. Makrothumeo is like, you gotta have some makrothumeo. You gotta walk in a willingness to let another person set the pace. Like, you've gotta find this God-given ability to say things like, you're going slow? Okay, I'll walk with you anyway. Or, hey, you don't get it? That's okay. I'll explain it again gently. Or, you're offending me? That's okay. I'll love you anyway until you come around. Or, hey, you've wronged me. I don't know if it's okay, but it's okay because you know what? I'm learning to forgive as Jesus has forgiven me. So you can have grace. And I'll trust, what did James say? The judge who's standing at the door. He'll sort things out. I trust him. You can have grace. We got to learn stuff like that. What if in a culture of short-fused people, we walked into every room and relationship that we were in with a God-given long fuse and we modeled something different? What would that change? For some of you, it would change your home life. For some of you, it would change your workplace. For some of you, it would change your neighborhood. Some of you would definitely change your HOA. We all know it would change social media. We all know it would change what the next 6 months are going to be like if we just did this one thing with one another. If we just decided to have a God-given longer fuse. And here's what I believe. I'm really passionate about this one. I believe we have to decide to be these kinds of people. We have to be people of makrothumeo with one another. Why? Because everything depends on it. I wrote a list of things that I think depend on it. Where is it? There it is. Parenting depends on it. You can't successfully parent without patience. You know that. Just have a kid and you'll prove it instantly. Coaching depends on it. Mentoring depends on it. Leadership depends on it. Friendship depends on it. Intimacy requires it. Trust requires it. Community requires it. Unity requires it. Forgiveness requires it. Reconciliation requires it. Compromise and finding solutions require it. And here's probably the biggest one. Christians, Jesus' message and mission depend on it. His message and mission depend on it. You remember his greatest command? We've said it. We say it all the time around here. It's the slogan of our church that we say out in the community all the time. Love where you live. He said, hey, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And our Heavenly Father loved us while we were still sinners. He was patient with us. And it was his patience that made room for Jesus to come in the first place. If our Heavenly Father, if God was not patient, we wouldn't know him. If God was not patient, we would not be forgiven. If God was not patient, we wouldn't have a Savior. But we do, because he is. And he said, hey, as I've loved you, I want you to love one another. All of the one another's. Yeah, all of them. I want you to pass on my patience. Why? So you can be polite? No. Yeah, but no. That's not even the main thing. So that you can be a walking advertisement for our Savior, who is patient with sinners even unto death on a cross. The fight for patience is really a fight for another person. Because when you lose your patience, you start losing the other person. But when you hold on to it, when you somehow find it, this God-given ability to let them set the pace, you start to win. And you start to win them. So that's my second question. In your life right now, when you do a 360, perhaps let's start at home and move outwards because that's the most important place that we are. With whom have you grown impatient? And the challenge is simply to walk back into that relationship and say, I'm gonna let them set the pace. I'm gonna let them set the pace. And you communicate to them, maybe with words, but definitely with your behavior. You set the pace. You can set the pace. It's okay. And I'm not gonna be mad at you. I'm not gonna get vengeance on you. And I'm not gonna belittle you for your pace. I've renounced the right to do that. I'm just gonna walk with you as Jesus has walked with me. I'm gonna pass it on. What would change if we did that? We have to have patience. That's number two. But then finally, James suggests that we need patience in a third area of our lives. And he says this, excuse me, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, man, that's when it's hardest, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. He's talking about like, you know, the Old Testament books of the Bible written by guys. Those are prophets. Go on, please. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. And you've heard of Job's perseverance. If you've ever heard Job, he's famous, not just in Christian circles, in like the world for his calamities and misfortunes. And here's what these guys realized. I didn't get to finish, but that's okay. Yeah. And have seen what the Lord finally brought about. And what they eventually learned, these guys who had perseverance, is they learned that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Here's the point. James, finally, he ends this little section by talking about people, specifically the prophets, and especially Job, for whom their greatest challenge, it was not being patient with the process, nor was it even being patient with another person. Their challenge was being patient with God. Because they were asking God to intervene, they were asking God to provide, they were asking God to save the day, and he wasn't. And he didn't. Or at least not the way they wanted him to, and in the timing that they wanted him to. And James is saying, hey, the same is gonna be true of your life. Same's gonna be true of my life. Sometimes the patience you're really gonna need, it's not with a process, it's not with a person. You're gonna need to find a God-given ability to have patience with God's provision. And you've experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. Like, it's when you've asked God for something and waited, and waited, and waited, and you're like, hello? When you felt led by God to do something, but then you ran into obstacles or challenges, and you're like, I'm sorry, what? Why is this so difficult? When you trusted God, and yet the outcomes that came your way, they were not what you were trusting for. They were different. Or even when you've looked jealous with jealousy or perhaps resentment at somebody else for whom God seemed to be answering their prayers for the same thing, and yet yours are not. And you felt that short fuse with your heavenly Father. We all felt it. Don't feel guilty. I felt it. And this is where macrothermeo comes in. The writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God and experience all that he has for you. Well, turns out that when you read the stories of the great men and women of faith, one of the biggest parts of their faith, one of the biggest actual activities of their faith, how it actually played out in real life, was simply waiting. And to wait. The great men and women of faith that you read about in the Bible, they all have one thing in common. They have a long fuse with God. They have a God-given ability to let him set the pace. Like, think about Abraham, who waited and waited and waited and waited for God to give a child, which was the promise, so that a nation could be born. God, are you gonna do it? 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 Think about Moses, who walked through the desert for years and years without ever seeing the promised land. Think about Joshua, who walked around walls over and over again, the city of Jericho, and nothing ever happened. He just kept walking, and nothing ever happened, and nothing ever happened, and nothing ever happened. Most of their faithing was actually waiting. That's why they had great faith, because though it was hard, they did. They kept going, they kept waiting, and they got to see God. And they got to see God's promises come true. They got to see children born. They got to see seas be parted. They got to see walls fall down. Why? Because of macrothumeo. Because they trusted God enough to let him set the pace. And I just want you to know the same is true of your life. I believe God has an amazing plan for you. I believe that he has something extraordinary for you. I mean, specifically for you, not just for us or for some sect of Christians or whatever. You, I'm talking about you. There was a time when God said of Israel, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. And I believe God feels the same way about you. Do I know what it is? No. But I do know this, whatever it is, it's gonna require patience. A willingness to let God set the pace. A willingness to say, hey God, whatever, wherever, whenever, the answer is yes. It's gonna require patience. God has a plan, it's gonna require patience. And if you have it, you'll get to see it. Just like the heroes of faith that you read about in the Bible, if you have it, you'll get to see it. Not only the destination to which he wants to lead you, but the wonderful thing that he wants to do along the way. Did you know that, by the way? Did you know that sometimes what God wants most for you isn't the destination he's leading you to, but the growth, the growing and the forming and the deepening and the maturing that he wants to do along the way. Sometimes that's actually what he wants most for you. James, the same guy we've been reading from, he says it this way earlier in his letter. He says, hey, consider it pure joy. Really odd. My brothers and sisters, here's why it's odd. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Like, that's ridiculous. Why? Well, because you know that the testing of your faith, your patience, your long suffering, your long fuse with the Lord, with your willingness to let God set the pace, the testing of that, it's gonna produce perseverance in you. And if you will let perseverance finish its work, here's what it's gonna do. It's gonna make you more mature and complete so you're not lacking anything. God is leading you somewhere, but it's not all gonna happen immediately. And sometimes that's by design, or sometimes it's just the way of the world, but God's gonna use it anyway. And he's gonna do something perhaps as significant along the way as the thing to which he is leading you. So when you have trials, when you have suffering, when you run into hard times, you need to remember that. Most of what God wants to do through you and in and through your life is gonna require makrothumeo. It's gonna require patience. So that's my question, final question. With what provision have you grown impatient? With what provision have you grown impatient? And the invitation, the challenge is to walk back into your life. Walk in makrothumeo. Let God set the pace. Not only because you know that he's leading you, but you know that he's up to something along the way. And he's going to do something extraordinary. So you're going to have faith. You're going to walk with patience. You're going to walk with the long fuse and let him set the pace. So that's it. That's what I wanted to talk to you about today. I think it is so, so important. I wanted to pass on the encouragement from James, the brother of Jesus, Jacob, the brother of Jesus, an encouragement to focus in on three areas where we urgently and critically as individuals, as families, as a culture, and as a country need to start walking in patience. And then to review, these three areas were this right here. We need patience with a process, patience with a person, and patience with provision. We need to develop patience with a process, to hang in with the process so that we get the payoff and not give up. Hang in there with people, have long fuse with people, let other people set the pace so that we can model the patience of our Savior to them and have relationships that are healthy and thriving and create a new model, and patience with God's provision so that we can see everything that he has for us, because that's what it requires. I gave you three verses to go along with them. If you're like, man, I need an encouragement on my mirror or on my phone, take a screenshot of this, put this up in front of you, Galatians 6:9, Colossians 3:13, and James 1:2-4. But that's it. That's my encouragement to you, is go walk in makrothumeo. Go identify which area of your life. Is it a process? Is it a person? Is it a provision? And go have, develop, walk in patience. Go do it. Go do it this week. You can. And because here's why you can, because remember, this isn't just about gritting your teeth and flexing your muscles and just having all the ability to do it. Remember, this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul would say, no, it's not enough for you just to have a lot of effort. You need a new operating system. You can do this through the Holy Spirit of God. And so in the name of that, I wanted to finish by giving you a prayer to pray over whatever area of patience, of your life, you need to have more patience. It's a prayer for patience. And I would challenge you, if nothing else, go back practically and just start praying this over that person or that process or the provision. And it's this right here. Holy Spirit, give me patience to let blank set the pace. Pray that. And you can fill in the blank with whatever. For me, practically, I'm probably just gonna fill in the blank with God, because after all, he's up to something in the processes of our lives. He's up to something in the relationships in our lives. And he's certainly the one through whom we're gonna get provision. So you may just distill it to, Holy Spirit, give me patience to let you set the pace in this process, with this person, with this provision that I'm looking for and praying for. Go pray that. Let's pray this and watch as God produces in us patience. It's what we need, perhaps more than ever. It's what our world needs now. So let's start today. Let's have it. And let's go model it and see if it catches on. It just might. Let me pray for us and we'll get out of here. Heavenly Father, thank you for the patience that you've had for us. I pray that would inspire to have patience with those around us, with the processes in our lives that are gonna bear fruit if we just hang in there. And also with the plans that you have for us that require us to keep walking sometimes when things aren't happening or we don't see it. So I pray that you give us wisdom to know what to do about this and courage to do it. Holy Spirit, would you give us patience to let you set the pace? And may we see a fruit in our lives as a result. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.